We're going to get in this word. I'm so excited. I've been excited about this message since the Lord gave it to me. And just excited about our first sunrise service. You know, like you got to have a building to have a sunrise service. You know what I mean? You just can't have a sunrise service in a hotel, a storefront. Like, it's just too much. Like, it doesn't make sense, you know? But, like, when you get your building, man, you can have you a sunrise service. So I'm over the moon about this, the first one. Somebody say amen. Praise God. Y'all, if you have your Bibles, amen. First time I said if you have your Bibles at the sunrise service. Gina! I woke my wife up this morning at 3 o'clock. I said, baby, get up. It's our first sunrise service. She was like, what? Get up. She said, I thought it started at 6. Yeah, we got to get up there. Amen. So thank God. Amen. Everybody in my house is up. Amen. I know some people's alarm didn't go off right, but y'all, they all right. They missed it, but it's okay. Somebody say amen. I think we're streaming. Amen. Do you have your Bible? If you have your Bibles, I'm so excited. Can y'all tell I'm excited? I got to calm myself down. Matthew 28, 1 through 7. Thank you, Dr. Gabriel Rogers. Thank you, bro. Thank you, thank you, thank you for everything you did to get us here today. Matthew 28, 1 through 7. And we're going to start at the first verse right here and go through the seventh verse. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Why do we have sunrise service? Because this verse right here. As it began to what? Dawn on the first day of the week. You know this is the first day of the week? And y'all, you know we've been here and the sun has risen. It began to dawn. Amen. Everything we do is in the Bible. Somebody say amen. At the end of the Sabbath, as it began, the end of Saturday, as it began to dawn on Sunday, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they came to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Now you notice, they came to see the sepulcher, and behold, the earthquake came after they came, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven after the earthquake and came and rolled back the stone from the door. Now, they didn't roll back the stone so Jesus could get out. Why did they roll back the stone? So everybody else could get in and see that he had risen from the dead. Somebody say amen. That's a good place to say amen right there. Yeah. So they rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. The angel sat on it. Like, yo, bro, I did this. Somebody say amen. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment as white as snow. Are y'all still following me? And for fear of him, the doorkeepers did shake. They saw the angels and the people that was mining the sepulcher, the tomb, they started shaking and they became like they was dead. They just passed out. They fainted. And the angel answered and said unto the women, this is what I love. He said, first of all, fear ye not, for I know that you looking for Jesus. I know what you came looking for. I know you came looking for Jesus, all right? He said, don't worry about it. He's not here, for he is risen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Anybody in here believe that? Amen. I love this part, Cassie. You're going to love this message. And don't beat her like you beat your Bible, because I know you're going to get excited. But don't beat your daughter like you beat your Bible. But I'm telling you, this is going to be a Bible beater right here. He's not here, for he is risen. Watch this, Cassie. As he said. Come see the place where he lay. Come see where he was. Because he's not here anymore. Look at verse 7. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen. Why you got to go tell them? Because they scared. They cowards. They hiding. Somebody say amen. So go tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And behold, he go before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have told us words to overcome that we see, what we see. Okay? Oh, all right. So here we go. Let's go into this text. Amen. I want you to think on this subject. Looking for Jesus. Everybody say, looking for Jesus in all the wrong places. Let's say it one more time. Looking for Jesus. Let's preach. In all the wrong places. Oh, my God. Y'all, as we talk about our brand is what? Word of faith, spirit-filled, separation, and end time. This is a word of faith message. Because so often, people are looking for God. And although God is omnipresent, he's everywhere at the same time. Somebody say amen. Amen. His manifest presence isn't everywhere. I mean, David literally said, if I make my bed in hell, you're there. Amen. He knows what's going on in hell. That's what he's saying. But God's manifest presence is not in hell. That's why people who reject Christ is going to go to hell, because they're going to be absent from the manifest presence of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. So although God is everywhere at the same time, and Jesus is everywhere at the same time because he's God, we know that his manifest presence is not in every place. And here's the most important thing. We know that his blessing is not in every place. I submit to you today, as we preach this little sermon we put together, that everybody is looking for Jesus, they just don't know it. Somebody say amen. Amen. People are looking in all kinds of places trying to find God, trying to find a blessing. There is a bunch of people now in our society who want to claim, I'm not religious. I don't subscribe to organized religion. Amen. Amen. I love coming to something that's organized. Somebody say amen. It's like somebody saying, I don't go to an organized grocery store. Oh, you don't? They got the milk on the front shelf outside the refrigerator. Amen. Come on. The only time this stuff makes sense is when they talking about God or church. It makes no sense. I don't subscribe to organized religion. I am spiritual. And what that means is that they are looking for God in all the what? Wrong places. So I'm spiritual, so I go back to some ancient witch stuff and I start burning sage. So I can have positive what? Energy, right? No, that's looking for God what? In all the wrong. Some people go after yoga, and then we know that there is, even in our time, it's so crazy that people call what we believe ancient and obsolete and irrelevant, but they go back even beyond Christianity to go to pagan practices and all kind of stuff, burning sage, and now tantric sex, right? According to yoga, that you can have sex with these energies. We know it's sex with demons, right? Over in Genesis chapter 6, demons did have sex with women, and they gave birth to giants and all these things. So y'all, it's people trying to find God through some kind of sexual experience. People trying to find God. I've heard of this. If you just smoke mushrooms, if you just get on some hallucinogenic drugs, that you can come close to God and that you can really understand the universe. People are looking for all kind of place in all kind of the wrong places for God. But how many of y'all know you can't look for Jesus in the wrong place, because you won't find him? Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, it is so funny that I said this is a word of faith message, because Mary Magdalene and the other Mary should not have been running to the sepulcher to find Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says what? We walk by and not by. They were coming to the tomb based on what they had seen. And if you were here on Friday night, we showed you excerpts from the Passion of the Christ. And thank God, Dwayne edited some of that. Some of that is just, it's hard to watch. And this was not even the actual crucifixion. I think they got close. But the Bible even says, what we saw on the screen, they went further than that. The Bible says in Isaiah, they pulled Jesus' beard out strand by strand. They beat him so badly that he was unrecognizable. That the people who knew Jesus couldn't even recognize his face after he had gone through the brutal beatings that he had gone through. So since we walk by faith and not by sight, why was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary coming to the tomb? Because they were walking by sight. What had they seen the last 3 days before? Well, they had seen Jesus get beaten. They saw him get whipped with a cat of nine tails and they pulled the flesh out. Y'all remember we saw that scene? They saw him get brutally what? Crucified. And that was the most torturous death of his time. And then they saw him die. Somebody say amen. But what did Jesus say? And I'm going to ask you that for the rest of this message. What did Jesus say? Let's go to Matthew 17, 22, 23. What did Jesus say? And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men. Everybody say that's bad news. They should kill him. Everybody say that's bad news. And on the third day, he shall be raised from the dead again. Somebody say, that's good news. But watch this. They were exceedingly sorry. He told them some bad news. But then he said, I'll be raised from the dead. After 3 days, I'll be raised. Everybody say, that's good news. Why were they exceedingly sorry? If the truth is, yeah, they're going to kill me. But 3 days later, you're going to see the greatest miracle you ever saw. I'm going to rise from the dead. They were exceedingly sorry. Did y'all see that? Their emotions was so tied to the trauma and the tragedy that when the good news and victory came, they couldn't get happy. So here's point number one on this little message. Instead of looking for Jesus in all the wrong places, number one, let your emotions be subject to the victory and not the trial. Y'all, trials are coming. Somebody say amen. If you live in this life, you're going to have trials. But so often, our emotions get so damaged going through the trial that we can't have victory. We can't experience triumph when the victory comes. They never registered the victory. That's why they forgot that he was going to be raised on the third day. Y'all, if you take a promise of God and if you'll make yourself imagine it, if you'll make yourself feel the emotions of I already got the house. Come on, somebody. We already got the campus. Hello. I already got the car. I already got the job. Come on, somebody. No matter what you're going through, no matter the suffering, no matter the trial, your emotions will continue to say, I got the victory. Somebody say amen. Amen. But when you don't let yourself and your emotions experience the triumph because of the promise, you'll forget the promise, and even when the answer comes, you'll still be in the trial. Somebody say amen to that. Here's another point. So many times we're so traumatized by a trial, when the triumph comes, our emotions are still in trauma. Now, I know this is true. A woman could have been praying for a good man, wanting a good man, all this stuff. I need a good man. I want to be married and have come out of a bad relationship. Do you know if she doesn't get delivered, if she doesn't get release those soul ties, if she don't come through all of those emotions, do you understand that when the good man get there, she gonna still be in the past relationship? And so many times they miss the good man because they still hung up on the bad man. You better learn how to let the promise bring you into victory. Somebody say amen. Amen. They never registered the victory. Why did Mary Magdalene and the other Mary come to the tomb looking for Jesus? Because they forgot the promise of victory. Somebody say amen. The brutality and traumatic events that they had seen just 3 days before had so seared their minds. Those images, I'm sure they couldn't get out of their minds. I'm sure. Have you ever seen something so crazy that like you even woke up out of your sleep seeing that image? Or you dreamed about it and it woke you up. I can imagine what they saw when they watched Jesus get crucified, when they watched him get beat. I can imagine it was so traumatic that it kept waking them up at night. And those traumatic events had seared their minds so that they couldn't think of the promise of the resurrection. But if you learn to look past the problem and look to the promise, you'll have victory every time. Somebody say amen to that. If you learn to look past the problem and look to the promise, you'll have victory every time. You won't look for Jesus in all the wrong places. Have you ever prayed and was surprised when the answer actually came? Anybody ever did that? You prayed about something, it had been going on so long that you forgot you prayed and the answer came and you was like, oh my God, I'm not even dealing with that anymore. Somebody say amen. I remember a time when I was having sciatic problems and my back was crazy. Y'all, I don't know if you've ever had sciatic nerve problems. Y'all, it is the most excruciating pain ever. I asked my wife about childbirth. I said, does this feel like this? And she's like, no, not even close. I said, yo, if it ain't close to this, I don't ever want to have no baby. Somebody say amen. There's a lot of men running around here want to have babies. I'm not one of them. Somebody say amen. Woo, Jesus. Thank God for women. All the men ought to say amen. Good God Almighty. But I was in so much pain. And I called Dr. Rogers, me and my brother, we agreed. And we prayed. And after we prayed, you know, when you go through pain for such a long time, you start bracing for pain. You know what I'm talking about, mama? Yeah, mama know what I'm talking about. You start bracing for pain because you know as soon as that foot hit the ground, you're going to get that sharp pain. And I remember I was sitting somewhere, and after we prayed, and I sat there for a little longer, and everything was doing some other things, and I got ready to get up. And I was bracing for that pain because, man, that sciatic pain, I don't know if you ever had it. Y'all, it is the most excruciating pain you could ever have. And I began to step, and I stepped, and my foot hit the floor, and I had no pain. And I was surprised. Come on, somebody. I was surprised at what God had done through the prayer. But guess what? We had stood on a promise. Somebody say amen. So if I had been really expecting God to do it, I wouldn't have been surprised. But I had forgotten that we had prayed just that quick. And when I got up and started moving around, all the pain was gone. Point number two, stop expecting the pain and start expecting the promise. Somebody say amen. The reason Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb, because they expected the 10 to a dead Jesus. They thought that they were going to be able to come. They were waiting to after the Sabbath because to do anything on the Sabbath would have been a sin. So they were waiting to come and put some more anointing and ointment and to preserve the body and to make sure everything was okay. They was going to the to the grave to make sure the tombstone was right. They was going to the grave to make sure he had some fresh flowers. Y'all know all that stuff people do on people's grave. I went by grandmama's grave. I went to see grandmama. I put some fresh flowers on there. Now, y'all, I don't mean no harm. I got relatives that do that, y'all. I don't go by tombs. I don't go by cemeteries. I don't go put fresh flowers on nothing because I understand that they are not there. Somebody say amen. Somebody went to go see mama. Did you go to heaven? Come on, somebody. Because if you go to the cemetery, mama not there. Somebody say amen. Amen. But they were coming to tend to the dead body like people do. People get excited about funerals and stuff. They get excited about tombstones. They get excited about flowers. And if you're my relatives up here and you're listening, y'all keep doing it. Amen. It's okay. Somebody say amen. Somebody got to do it. But how many of y'all know Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Somebody say amen. Amen. So they went to the tomb looking for a dead Jesus. They expected Jesus to still be in defeat. My God. I want to add, at least the women came. Two amens on that. At least the women came. Say that again. At least the women came. So many times, amen, the women, at least the women come. Somebody say amen. The men were scared. The men, the macho men, the men that had the swords, the men that cut the soldiers' ear off, the men that say, I'll never deny you. The men that say, gee, I'll stay with you forever. The men, come on, the men that be lifting weights, the men that got testosterone, they was all hiding somewhere in the upper room somewhere because they were scared that they was coming for them next. Somebody say amen. But everybody say, at least the women came. But they came looking for a dead Jesus. They came looking for a defeated Jesus. I want to say this as I get ready to go to the close. Yo, you know, we got some brothers and sisters. They're fundamentalists. They don't believe like we believe. they find Jesus in all the wrong places. You're suffering. You've got cancer. Well, you'll find Jesus in that. No, you won't. You'll find death in that. Yeah. Jesus is trying to cause you to grow into a deeper relationship with him. That's why he allowed cancer to come on you. Come on, somebody. So if it's Jesus is doing it, why would I resist it? If it's Jesus doing it, why would I go and be healed? If it's Jesus doing it, why would I go down to MD Anderson to try to get a cure? If it's Jesus, I don't want to be cured. Somebody say amen. People are schizophrenic. They say, oh, yeah, it's Jesus trying to reach you in the depths of poverty. See, the reason you don't have much is because Jesus wants you to understand and know that you can depend on him to supply all of your need. And they're always looking for Jesus in the tragedy. They always say the reason God took your five-year-old daughter is because he wanted you to grow deeper into him. And then we agree with that stuff and say, yeah, everything happens for a reason. No, some of the reason is because the thief come to steal, to kill, and destroy. John 10:10 said, Jesus said, the thief comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. Now, you're not going to find Jesus in no cancer diagnosis. You're not going to find Jesus killing nobody's baby. You're not going to find, come on, somebody. You're not going to find, no, you're going to find Jesus in the victory. Somebody say amen. And some of us have been in so much hurt for so long that we expect the pain. That's all we expect every day. We don't expect it to get better. We don't expect things to come through. We don't expect things to change. We expect, it's been going on for 12 years. Y'all remember that woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years? And she was nothing grew better, but grew worse. And when she had spent all she had, she grew worse. And when she came to Jesus, came in the press behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. Jesus is in the promise. He's not in the pain. What did Jesus say? He said, they're going to kill me, but after 3 days, I'm going to rise again. Somebody say amen. Amen. Point number two, stop expecting the pain. and start expecting the promise. Why don't you touch somebody and say, stop expecting the pain and start expecting the promise. Mary Magdalene came to see a dead Jesus, but how many of y'all know Jesus is not in dead things? How many of y'all know Jesus is alive? How many of y'all know Jesus is alive? That's why I don't like dead churches. I don't like dead singing. I don't like dead praying. I don't like dead preaching, as you can see. And I sure don't like no dead audience. If you're alive, you ought to say something. If you know that Jesus is alive, you ought to say something. You ought to open up your mouth and give them some praise. They was looking for Jesus in all the wrong places. Hallelujah. The angel said, you're looking for Jesus in the graveyard, but he's not here. I know what you came looking for, but he's not here. Come see where he used to be. Let me tell you, there's a dangerous place to be where God used to be. I don't want to be where he was back in the 60s. I don't want to be where he was back in the 70s. We got some people that say, if we can just get the church back to the way it was in the 80s. No, I don't want to be where God used to be. I want to be where God is right now. The psalmist said, whatever you're doing, God, in this season, don't do it without me. Is there anybody that feel like I do? Whatever you're doing, Lord. Come on, repeat it. Say, whatever you're doing, Lord, in this season, don't do it without me. Hallelujah. Point three is, instead of looking for the worst, they should have expected the best. Somebody say amen. What did Jesus say? I keep going back to it. No matter what's going on in your life, we gotta ask God, what did Jesus say? No matter what I'm going through in my personal life, I remember the time when I was discouraged, but my wife said, what did Jesus say? I remember we was looking for a house and it didn't look good for us. They had already turned us down. The realtor said, let's go look at this house just in case you don't get that house. But my wife said, what did Jesus say? Hallelujah. You need a prayer partner. You need somebody in your life that will remind you, no matter how it look, what did Jesus say? No matter how it feels, what did Jesus say? No matter what people are saying around you, what did Jesus say? I'd have to ask Mary, while you're running to the tomb, what did Jesus say? He said, I'm gonna die, but 3 days later, I'm getting up again. Hallelujah. What did Jesus say? You might be going through something right now in your life. What did Jesus say? John 16:33. He said, these things have I written to you that you might have peace. What did Jesus say? In this world, you're gonna have tribulation. Hallelujah. But don't stop there. He said, be of good cheer. While you're having tribulation, you ought to be rejoicing. Be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. Yes, if they believe Jesus, every time they nailed his hand, somebody would have been giving God a Shabbat praise. Every time they put ribbons in their feet, somebody would have been saying, thank you, God. What did Jesus say? They was crying at the cross, but somebody should have asked him, do you remember what Jesus said? He said, I'm gonna die, but 3 days later, I'll rise again. You have to move. You have to move. You have to move away from trauma. Yes, it hurts. Yes, they did it to you. No, it should not happen, but you gotta move. Tell somebody, move. Tell somebody, move away from trauma. Saying, go ahead, drop the nails in my hand, laugh at me, where you stand, go ahead, say it isn't me, the day will come, and you will see, I'll rise again. You gotta tell the devil, shoot your best shot, devil. I'm not going down no matter what you do. The Bible already said, I got the victory. Praise be unto God that always causes me to triumph. Everybody say triumph. Everybody say victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? They nailed his hands. They spiked his feet. They pierced him in the side. He hung there, and he died. Didn't he die? He died until the sun refused to shine. He died. Until there was an earthquake, he died. Until the veil in the temple was ripped from top to bottom, he died. Until the centurion soldier said, surely, 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 this must be the Son of God. To Christ. Never publicly acknowledge that he's your Lord and Savior. Never publicly acknowledge that you believe he rose from the dead. If that's you and you say, I want to do that today, let me see your hand. Anybody in this place? Secondly, I want to be buried and risen with Jesus. I want to be baptized or re-baptized. If that's you, I know it's two people already, amen. Anybody else who said, I'm going to be re-baptized after this morning? Hallelujah. Last appeal is this. Pastor, I'm joining this church today.
what the world calls Easter Sunday. We call it Victory Sunday. I'm joining today. I want to make this church my church home. If that's you, let me see you. Anywhere in this building. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh, oh, oh. Thank you, Jesus. What's that? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all my fears are gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he
time because he lives. First sunrise service in this location. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. If you are visiting with us the first or second time, amen, I want you to follow this lady right here. We got a gift for you, and we want to meet you over there. Amen. And we're not going to hold you too long because we got breakfast this morning. Amen. Are they about ready back there? Anybody find out they're ready? Praise God. How many of y'all ready to eat? My God. Came out here, didn't even eat. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, y'all, we're going to eat our breakfast. Amen. Take your time. Don't eat too much. Don't fall asleep on me at 10. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I will be right back here at 10 o'clock. Watch over me.
Watch over me and protect me. The things I cannot see.
let them get over there.
Into eternity.
Of God the Father, the fellowship, sweet communion of your Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus Christ, rest, rule, and abide with us henceforth and forevermore. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and give us, be gracious to us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. Don't forget what Christ did for all of us over 2,000 years ago. God bless you. You are dismissed.